Hope is one of the greatest concepts or emotions that we might have. And in our text in 1 Peter 3, we hear that word hope used. We use it as our text this morning in verse 15 where it says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and with fear." I think about the songs that we sing, "Whispering Hope, How Welcome Thy Voice." "Hope is an anchor so steadfast." And there's just so many of those encouraging songs and hymns that we sing from time to time. And I want to ask you to look at your life and ask, has my hope grown cold? What do we hope in? What do we hope for? Number one, we hope for a better land than the one we live in. We hope for a place where God is in control, where the former things have passed away. We hope for a life that's free from all pain and all of the things that we know to exist in this world. But I want you to know that we can hope in this world too. We can hope to be a part of the family of God. The last year we've had to say goodbye to an awful lot of people in our church family. Had way too many funerals. There are those times, and I suppose one of the hardest things for me in ministry is to lose people who are part of the church family. We love them. We expect them to grow. I said at James's service this week, you'll be missed because your seat's empty. And that's true for every one of these folks that we've lost. We can look at that. But you know, I was talking this morning. I said, we have that hope that one day we'll meet again. One day we'll worship again, we'll be in the presence of God Himself, and we'll sing praises to Him, and we'll be reunited with all those folks who've gone on to be with the Lord. And I want to encourage us in hope. The text says to be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks you for the hope that's within you. The thing that's important to me in that particular concept is we ought to have a hope that is evidence to people around us. People ought to look at us and know that we're hoping for something, we're expecting something. Hope is expectation that something good is coming. Wouldn't you say that? Hope is something that there's a day when I'm going to meet Jesus. That's the promise of God, but it's the hope of my heart. It's the desire of my life that one day I'll be in that place that He's promised us to be. And there ought to be a reason to be able to give that kind of hope. I was talking to Johnny just a few minutes ago following our lesson this morning in Sunday school. And we were talking about different people who claim not to believe in God. And one of the things that we discussed in that short discussion that we had is, let's say you don't believe in God and you just believe in what this world has to offer. Here is the best you can hope for, a hole in the ground. Or maybe in today's society, a cremation urn. You can make all the money you want, but you're not taking any of it with you because that's not what our hope ought to be in. You can have the highest degree that anybody could have, the terminal degree in your field, and when you're dead and gone, it's not going to help you. But if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to Him, if you've been born again, if you're a part of the family of God, you can have the hope that you never die, that moment of physical death is only a moment of transition into the eternal bliss of God. And so I want to talk about hope this morning. The first thing that I want to suggest to you, that hope is based on the sacrifice of Jesus. My hope is not built in what I can do. My hope is not built on me being good enough or earning heaven or working my way to a better place. My hope is based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. You see, He died for me. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the text is clear that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't handle it on our own. I remember the little movie clip that's shown almost ad nauseum on different programs that says, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Let me tell you, I can't handle anything without Jesus as my Savior. I don't have a hope beyond this world. If Jesus wasn't, if the resurrection's not true, then Paul says, of all men, we are the most to be pitied. In Romans chapter 6, and verse 23, we're told that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. That's why when I go to the deathbed or the funeral service of a departed saint, that I can rest in the assurance that the promises of God are true. It's not the end. It's the transition into a better life. It's not the end because I've got to wait to get to where they've gone to be safe in the arms of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the writer says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I have hope of heaven because Jesus sacrificed His life for me. I love that song where the question is asked through, as it were, the words of Jesus, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? He gave His life. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? Think of all the people in the world that you would sacrifice your life for. And for most of us, if we get one generation beyond our own blood, we'd be lucky to think of those that we sacrifice ourselves for. I know that there are those in military service who sacrifice their lives, have sacrificed their lives for the greater good. But when I think about the sacrifice of Jesus, it was for the sin of the world that He died. Not because we are good, but because we were not. Not because we are holy, but because we are not. Not because we deserve it, because we do not. He sacrificed Himself for our sins that we could have the hope of heaven. And that's what I'm going to keep coming back to in our thoughts today, is the hope that we have. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, the writer goes on to say, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By the sacrifice of Jesus, He gave His life on Mount Calvary. He shed His blood on the old rugged cross. Not because He wanted to, not because it was fun, not to show He could, but for you and I to have hope that there's a better life than this one. There's a better place than where we are. There's a place where the former things are washed away. What I want you to understand is without His sacrifice, there is no hope. Our hope rests in the sacrifice that Jesus had. Paul writes about that over in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. And I want you to listen and about the hope. Before Christ, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the convents of promise, having no hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Translation, now you have hope. He's talking to the Gentile world, which includes most of us, if not all of us. Without Jesus, we didn't have anything to hope for. But because He died, we do. Without Jesus, the best we could take on is the atheist proposition that we'll get through this life and in the end, that's it. And while it doesn't explain it, it really sounds like a better deal to not believe that there's anything beyond this life than to reject God and believe that there's a place of punishment. But I don't want to be scared about what happens if I don't. I want to have the hope that causes me to trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be without hope about anything, do you? If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, take this medicine for so long, don't you hope it'll work? When you go to the doctor and he says, Joel, you got to have a procedure done. I'm guessing you're hoping it's going to work. Because if there wasn't a problem, we wouldn't be doing this. We want to solve the problem. There is a problem of sin that says you lose your life forever in an eternal place that the Bible calls hell. And it's a place where people suffer. And I don't want to go there. My hope is based on Jesus Christ's sacrifice for me. Now, I'm one that has hope. But you know, all of my hope doesn't rest on the cross. For there are many people who died on crosses. There are many people who have been executed, and that's what crucifixion was, an execution. My hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that death could not hold Him tells me something. Because of Him, death can't hold me either. Because death couldn't keep Him down, it can't keep me down. Because He's gone before us, He can take us with Him. So hope in the spiritual sense is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the final proof test. Is there life beyond death? The Bible says that there is.
And the frightening part is the Bible doesn't say everybody inherits it because there are some people who won't. But it's available to everybody, and unless you have hope in that resurrected life, you're not going to receive it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, the apostle says, "But I do not want you ignorant brethren concerning those who fall asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Therefore, we have hope." People without Jesus don't have hope. They may have answers, but they're not hopeful answers. As I said before, if the best thing I have to look forward to is a cremation or a tomb or a grave, and that's it, that's kind of a dismal thought. In fact, it is the exact polar opposite of hope, is it not? I'm hoping for something better. How about you? I'm looking for the day where I don't just read about Jesus, I'm going to see Him face to face. Remember when Thomas placed his fingers in the nail prints? I believe we'll have that same opportunity one day. And I believe we'll be wrapped in His arms as we cross over into the new life. And for that, we have hope. What lies beyond death? I've been asked that question many times. Perhaps you have as well. My first answer is, I've never died before. Now, I don't know if you have or not, but I haven't died before. I hear of people whose hearts stopped in the operating room or whatever, and they've been shocked and brought back to life. I don't know. The Bible says the spirit apart from the body is dead. So I think when the spirit leaves, that's when death takes place. I don't understand all of it, but I know what God has promised. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 3, Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His mercy, His abundant mercy, has begotten us again," listen to it, "to a living hope." If you're an underliner, that's a good one. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven." You're going to have all of the promises of God just as good as they've ever been, as they've ever been promised, as you've ever read about, more than you've ever heard. I think the human brain is not able to contain what heaven's going to be like. When the Bible tells us the streets are going to be paved with gold, I don't know if that's literal or if God's just dealing with our finite brains. I think it'll be greater than that. I remember hearing the old story one time a preacher told. Says the guy dies and he gets up to the gates of heaven and he meets Peter because apparently Peter's at the front gate. He talks to Peter and he says, "Could I go back home and get something before I come back? I just want to bring one thing with me into heaven." And he goes down and he gets this bag and he brings it up and Peter says, "Let me see what's in the bag." And he looks in the bag and this man has just filled this bag full of gold. And Peter said, "Why did you bring asphalt up here? Streets paved with gold." I think that's for the human mind to say, this is more than you can even comprehend. My hope is based on the sacrifice of Jesus. My hope will be made true. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." People, if you hadn't spent time reading and studying and talking about the resurrection, you've missed the boat, because that is one of the greatest stories that there is. You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if there is no resurrection, we're the most pitiful people on the earth. Because if Christ was not raised from the dead, then the dead are not raised. And the statement is made after He was dead and after He was placed in the grave, after a stone was rolled in front of the tomb, after it was sealed with the Roman guard, that He was seen on one occasion by more than 500 people, and then they give a list of all the other people that saw Him after He had been buried, after He came out of the tomb. The evidence is clear. I suppose if you went to court to prove your case, and I'll have to ask one of my judges that I know if this would hold true in their court. If the lawyer came up and said, "We have 500 witnesses plus," that the judge would say, "We don't need to hear from all of them. Pick out your best ones." I don't know that from a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just saying, I just don't think any judge is going to say, "Bring us 500 witnesses of the same thing." You know, I'm not a lawyer, but if I was, I'd like to think I had a case that had 500 witnesses to prove my case. Oh, the resurrection is true. And the promises that God has made is true, and therefore my hope convicts me to live for Him.
John said in John chapter 14, the first few verses, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go now to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, surely I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. I have hope that that's true, don't you? I think historically, one of the great quotations of the generals of the United States was by MacArthur. And what did he say? I will return. I'm coming back. Y'all, I'm not through with this. Jesus said, I'm coming back. And not only am I coming back, but I'm taking you home with me when I come back. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, he said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Don't sorrow like those who have no hope. You see, our hope is based in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want to give you a third thing to think about. Our hope is also based in the presence of Jesus Christ. The fact that He is and that He lives today. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, we're usually looking at the Great Commission, and that's an important part of this passage. For He says that we should go and teach people to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, always, even to the end of this age and into the next. He will not leave you. Though others may forsake you and leave you, He will never leave you. He's promised to be present in our life as the born again, as the redeemed of all the ages, of being washed in His blood. He said, I'm not going to go away. Acts 19 and verse 8. There were some people who listened whose hearts were hardened. They did not believe. They spoke evil of the way. Before the multitude, He departed from them and withdrew His disciples and reasoned in the school of Tyrannus. And He continued there for 2 years to all who dwelt in Asia who heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. But those who were hardened turned away. They chose not to walk with Him. And there are people today who choose not to walk with Him. The hope is in being in Christ Jesus. You see, because Jesus cares for you and He cares for me, He cares for our very souls, He cares about eternally where we'll be. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, Paul said, He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We talked about this concept a little bit in my Bible class this morning when we were talking about the book of James. But it's really talking about hope. Even when you're at your worst and things don't seem to be working out and somebody's sick or somebody dies or we deal with an illness or we deal with a family problem or we deal with whatever it is, Jesus said, even in those weak times, I'm with you and my grace is sufficient to take care of you. It's hard sometimes for us to really rest on the Lord. But if we place our hope and our hearts in His hands, we can say like Paul did in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the faith. And in the power of His might. Our strength comes from Him. Paul asked the question in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, if He is our hope, who can be against us? Our hope is what's going to get us to heaven. Our hope is going to take us all the way to the cross and beyond into eternity in the presence of God's grace. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That faith is that hope we're talking about. Philippians chapter 4 said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's easy to get discouraged. But God said, I'm true. I'm not going to leave you. I'll take care of you. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 19, the Hebrew writer says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We sing that song about hope as an anchor. Do you have that kind of hope this morning in your life? If you're a child of God, you should. If you don't, something's wrong. We need to fix it. And if you do have that kind of strength in your life, are you showing that hope to the world? Because the world right now needs hope more than it ever needed hope before. God offers answers if we'll come to Him. And we are His. If you're outside of Christ, if you've never become a Christian, you need to be born again. of the water and the Spirit added to the family of God, baptized into Christ as a believer, penitent of sins, willing to confess His name, and then come up out of that watery grave to serve Him, to live for Him, to be faithful all the days of your life, where you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your life, come to heaven. That's what I'm hoping for. Do you have that hope this morning in your life? If you don't, for whatever reason, you need to come to the front as we stand and as we sing.